For our pilot episode, we explain why we decided to start the podcast and what the podcast is going to be about. We then briefly discuss the history of K-dramas and compare it to both Western and Filipino shows before finally asking the question, why aren't K-dramas bigger than they currently are?
Achakan. Samchun Show, Sohwak Heng, Manila,
Philippines.
Durama Podcaster, please follow our show.
Hello everyone, my name is Aji and I am one half of the Samchons.
Hello everyone, my name is Robin and I'm the other half of the Samchons and I have a PhD in hobbies.
For our listeners who are still tuned in, we'll get right to it and answer the questions you've been thinking about since you pressed the play button. So Robin, what is the Samchon Show?
I think before we answer what is the Samchon Show, we'll have to answer why is it called the Samchon Show. So Aji, why?
Well, I consider myself a Samchon. And if I consider myself a Samchon, I don't think you have any right to say that you're not.
Okay, fine. We understand what a Samchon is. But for everyone out there who doesn't know, Samchon is Korean for uncle. And we went for that instead of Ajushi because we don't want to be strangers to our listeners. And of course, here our goal is to create a family of K-drama loving people.
As long as you don't ask us to be your guarantors, we're good.
Dude, that's a pretty bad joke because we don't have money. That's some Samchon humor right there. All right. So our money all gone because of our lovely new mics for some great sound quality. All right. So basically, let's answer your initial question. What is the Samchon Show? It's a weekly podcast of two Filipino Samchons, the two of us, who want to spread the love of K-drama by discussing it on air. So at some point, I think we'll dive into some K-pop and other Korean media. But yeah, for now, K-drama.
If I can finally convince Robin to try Korean variety shows and movies, then we might do those too.
That's right. Parasite.
You're the one commenting about Samchon jokes?
I'm just running away, man. Although, now that we put so much work into this, I'm starting to question why I even said yes.
Whoa. Relax. Hold up. Because you sound as if you don't like K-dramas.
Bro, it's not a matter of liking it or not. I love K-dramas. Kimdami, saranghaeyo. So it was an easy choice to do the pod. Very easy. Easy.
In the same way, I'd also like to make other people fall in love with K-dramas. Think of it as my sohwakeng. That is Korean slang for small but certain happiness.
Well, I guess for you, that sounds about right. I'm more than happy to say that I am Exhibit A, though.
And hopefully everyone else that's listening will become Exhibit B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Because it feels like I'm playing Cupid whenever I get to match people up with a show that they like.
To be honest, we're doing this podcast because we just really love chatting about K-drama. So we do a lot of back and forth on Messenger anyway. So, yeah.
And it's finally reached the point where I have to say Robin, but I'm too lazy to chat, so might as well just talk about it.
Yeah, especially with our lovely new mics that Aji is squeezing the money out of it, so he's not typing anymore, everyone. He's just sending me short audio messages every single time. So let's be honest here, I think this is more about us than anyone else, because we can record our discussions and then we don't have to repeat it again and again and again.
By recording this podcast, it'd be easier to copy and paste it and just, you know, throw it out there. Listen to this. Please listen to this. Follow us.
Yeah, that's true. So for all our listeners out there, we hope you feel the same about us. And hopefully, the more we talk about K-dramas, the more people that talk about K-dramas, the more fun the discussions will actually be and the hotter the debates could become.
And we also hope that you as listeners can discover K-dramas from other genres or from other actors, or maybe even a completely type of K-drama than the ones you usually watch. They'll snowball, and then you'll eventually become a K-drama monster like us.
Yeah, very, very good point. Ajishi. And I'm sure we'll discuss that later on, you know, genres and all that. But I think there's a good time to say that there is still a stigma attached to K-drama, you know, and people sometimes generalize it. And so by doing this podcast, we're hoping that we could help change that perception on K-dramas.
Yeah, that pretty much summarizes what the Samchun Show is about and why Robin and I started it.
And since we're already into the topic of introductions and explanations, I think our listeners would enjoy learning about how K-drama and Hallyu, you know, the Korean wave, all started. So for this segment, Professor Ajishi, please enlighten us.
So after the 97-98 Asian financial crisis, the Korean government wanted to change their image from a manufacturing country into an IT and pop culture global leader. To do this, they then lifted travel bans, allowed cultural exchange between Japan and Korea, and until today, subsidized production costs through funds and tax breaks.
I had to hold in so much laughter.
You like that?
I loved it. You like so that? Before this government powered initiative, before this lecture, Korea was basically K drama and Samsung to me. Samsung, Master Race, Android, let's go. And of course, going back, that's right, Parasite.
You did it again. The face on you. Well, exactly. Samsung. And that's how the government felt. That's why they wanted to produce shows with the same level of quality that we know Samsung for. So soon after, other countries started to feel the effects of this. China, Japan, Thailand, Vietnam, and then there's us. We were all happy until the Korean nation attacked with the K-dramas.
Wait. Avatar, was that an Avatar reference? Oh my god. We're not sponsored by Nickelodeon, but pretty good show also on Netflix, alright? Also on Netflix.
Yeah, that was a bad joke. I'm sorry, he's not Korean. So let's go back. But really, back in grade school, there were popular shows like Jewel in the Palace, Winter Sonata, and Full House. And because of that initial wave of K-dramas, the general image of what K-dramas are like have stuck with Filipinos. And since then, I'd say the country has been more exposed to K-pop. But recently, there's been a resurgence, beginning with Descendants of the Sun, and recently, Crash Landing on You, because of its availability on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix and chill has really been helpful with this resurgence. But for us Samchons, it's always K-drama and chill.
But I know you still watch your Western shows, so you're the more Western guy here.
Hey man, don't do it! Don't! Alright, fine, Aji. You caught me with my hand in the Western show cookie jar. I mean, I just watched Space Force last week. I was expecting The Office quality, but no, I was pretty disappointed. I mean, I still love Steve Carell, but it wasn't really that good. I finished it, but I found myself going back to K-drama. I'm currently watching Mother.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. So now, you know, now that you've brought it up, when you're on Netflix, how do you decide if you're going to watch a K-drama or a Western show?
That's a good question, since I pretty much watch a fair amount of both. Well, I guess it depends on my mood. If I really want to binge, you know, and have a complete experience with closure, I tend to go for K-dramas because of its format.
Because they only last for a single season.
Yeah, and not just that. It's like 16 episodes, an hour or so each. So within one single day, with 8 hours of sleep, you could actually finish one whole show.
Except you've never done that.
That's great. Of course not.
And you compare it to
could, though.
American shows, which last indefinitely, like Supernatural, Arrow, and Grace. I mean, Grace. Supot pa ata ako when that came out.
ako rin po. right.
PG.
All right.
PG-13.
PG. All right. And then, you know, in the Philippines, we have my favorite, Ang Probinsyano, started in 2015. Still had hair. I was in college. Now I'm working and I'm bald. But now they're gone. I wonder why, but they're gone.
And that's a crime. That thing only lasted 1,156 episodes. I mean, it had so much potential.
So much potential. Well, as sarcasm aside, I think the format itself makes a big difference, you know, in terms of the overall quality of the shows. Like with K-dramas, the fact that they're almost always a limited series, it supports tighter storylines that aren't prolonged just for milking money, which sadly sometimes happens for, like, you know, Western shows like Grace. It's still ongoing.
So what about for you? When are you in the mood for Western shows?
Usually when I'm really tired and I just want something very light, something very funny. So my preference is, my go-to would be the comedic sitcoms, like The Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, some shows that you could watch just in the background. But again, I, you know, can't really say that on its own. Like, I also still follow shows like Peaky Blinders. I really love that. And Stranger Things, mostly, I think, because of the plot.
Is it just the plot or are there other factors like production value or the acting?
I think it's just really the plot more than anything, because in terms of the production or the acting, like I've not felt any dip in quality or any significant difference, maybe aside from the use of CGI.
Ooh, no difference, eh? What if I told you that on average, American shows are about 1.5 to 3 times more expensive than K-dramas? For example, Kingdom had a reported budget of $1.7 million per episode. Compare that to a similar zombie show like The Walking Dead. Guess how much Walking Dead cost?
$1 million.
Cheaper? Wow. Wow. It cost $3.4 million an episode.
Doesn't look nice, dude. It's just three times more. Wow. It must go to the acting. Yeah, it probably goes to the acting. Because, like, in terms of production value,
yes,
right, I think Kingdom is more visually pleasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were times indeed that Kingdom felt like it was more expensive. And I think that's one of the things that Korean dramas do differently. I would have to say that certain K-dramas, at least the ones that we're exposed to and the ones that we like, have impressive cinematography and production value that punches way above their weight. It's almost like we're watching a movie every episode.
Yeah, you know, my dad pointed that out when he started getting into K-dramas. It's like, especially with those that last an hour and a half long per episode, it's like, it's a movie with every episode. But then going back, you know, since we're discussing differences between the two major formats or the two major shows, I think another factor here would have to be how the two cultures tackle romance. You know, what happens in an episode of a typical Western show where they would just make out, get drunk, make out, have sex as a plot
you
device.
Said sex. That's a bad word a in Korea.
With Western shows. Yeah, it's a bad word.
Yeah, but you know, going back, it's not really that surprising because of the cultural differences. Asians gonna Asian, you know? And we're still generally more conservative and allergic to skin.
And it's interesting that you bring up that cultural point. I think to some degree that Asians and money, the tightness of money, I think we just really make the most out of it. I think that goes back to how Kingdom looks much more polished than The Walking Dead, even though the budget is like half. All right, but then as you can see, going back to the dynamic, let's go back to the dynamic. For me, honestly, since I watch a lot of both, right? What I can see in a lot of K-drama, especially relative to Western shows, the dynamic between males and females is still very much conservative. And I guess that's just a pretty realistic depiction of, you know, how things are in Korea at the moment. And that's probably also why we don't really see very strong female leads in K-drama, at least the ones I've seen.
There are more and more of them recently, though. They're top of my head, there's Mother. Search www. Be melodramatic. The point is, you know, they're doing a great job at it, and it's still far from the norm. It's not just specific to Korea. Other Asians will understand. At least, you know, it's a start.
Yeah, that's true. And as Asians ourselves, I think the values being portrayed in K-drama are incredibly more relatable to our context. So there are a lot more moments where, you know, I go, hey, that's my mom. That's my dad. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to studies and staying at home. So that happens a lot more often when I watch K-drama compared to Western shows. So the value of family, and especially the dynamic between siblings and parent and child, those light bulb moments of relatability, they happen so much more in K-dramas. And sometimes, honestly, that pushes me towards K-drama when I'm torn between picking two shows.
Yeah, well, you know, we've obviously stated some points going the way for K-dramas, and we're obviously impressed, but why aren't other people impressed? Duh. Why do you think K-dramas aren't bigger than they currently are?
For me, top of mind, of course, number one would have to be subtitles, because, you know, before we even made the show, of course, I tried to convert my family into the same religion as we are in, K-drama religion, but yeah. My sister, she sometimes messages me that, no subtitles, please. And it's not because she's lazy or anything. It's really just wanting to consume media without having to read all the time and be actively watching. So sometimes you just really want to unwind and watch a background show. So another similar scenario here is Nika. So Nika is my girlfriend. You're a good friend also. Like, I spent like a good 2 years trying to get her to watch live, and her reply is always just, I'm not in the mood for subtitles. I've spent all day reading because I teach English in high school. And it's 2 years. For 2 years. And now it's her favorite K-drama. What?
Yep. Yobo. What?
2 years, man. 2 years.
Yobo.
Yobo. Yobo. Yeah, I think that is a very big barrier.
I would say so.
It's not background friendly at all.
Well, we are, though. We are.
Huh?
You know, we're background friendly, so they suggest listen to us more and follow us. Please.
okay. That flew over my... Sorry. Yeah. I was still worked up about Nika taking 2 years to watch live. But yeah, everyone, the Samchun show is background friendly during your commute, when you're baking bread, whatever. When you're taking a shower, you know, listen to us. Give us a shot. And follow us. Click that follow button.
You know, kidding aside, that's a very good point. You know, I just think that it takes some getting used to, because it became like breathing to me after a childhood of watching anime. And we both know people who were initially subtitle averse, but they ended up getting used to it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Although I think Netflix is trying to do its part. At least for the shows that they are producing, Netflix series rather than Netflix originals that they just pick up. So, for example, Kingdom and Extracurricular, they both have English dubs. But if you try actually watching it, it's kind of a bit off. So there's always a trade-off. If you don't want to watch it with subtitles, of course, it's going to look a bit awkward, because the words that are coming out, or the words that you're hearing, aren't matching the words like they're mouthing. So if you can get past that, at the very least, you'll have one more background show to watch. Excellent background show to watch.
Oh, I thought of another one. We mentioned it at the start of the show, but you know, there's still a stigma attached to K-dramas. And I know we Filipinos were initially exposed to cheesy rom-coms, but not only have they gotten better at making rom-coms, they have also diversified into other genres like thrillers, crime, slice of life, action, sometimes even horror.
Exactly. I think that awareness is still limited in terms of most people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we really have to do a good job with this podcast, because the two of us really enjoy the genres that you mentioned, like slice of life especially. And because of that, you've discovered so many incredible dramas that aren't generally talked about. Yeah, exactly. Or hype, because they're not what you would say, quote unquote, conventional or a traditional K-drama that's mostly rom-com, you know?
And you know, it's almost unfair because these are quality K-dramas that deserve to be talked about. And I hope as we talk about them more on the show, then more people will give them a shot and realize that the world of K-dramas is huge.
Yeah, it's actually very insane, you know? Like, the catalog itself, like the number of genres included in it, it's amazing. And I think more than anything in today's world that Netflix helps so much in terms of discovering that, because everything now is so accessible that you really just have to click a few buttons and, you know, you'll see all these, how would you say this, like unconventional K-dramas available for you. And fortunately, a lot of our personal favorites are Netflix. And I guess that's partly a bias for me because I watch mostly using Netflix. So how can how can something be my favorite if it's not on Netflix, right? But then, you know, the ones that aren't on Netflix, they're on Viu and Viki. And the subscription there is pretty affordable. But for non-paying fans, for the stingier ones, it may be a bit difficult for us to find or recommend shows for
you. That's a big turnoff because I've recommended shows to friends that aren't on Netflix, and because it was inconvenient to stream those shows, they eventually dropped them. And again, it plays into that whole bingeability of K-dramas and people getting into that.
Yeah, and but for everyone, you know, you're not gonna get that accessibility from us.
What do you mean?
Very sorry. The convenience. We're not Kim's convenience. Sorry. Do not message us. Asking for the same show. Kim's Convenience, available on Netflix. Korean-Canadian show. Yobo!
Well, they can Google everything nowadays anyway.
Yeah.
Google, true. Please sponsor us.
I think that's what we're trying to go for. Google Ads. Search. Sponsor us. All right. I think that's it.
I wanted to say more, but we've got future episodes for that.
Yeah, so from the bottom of our hearts, we are thanking you for listening, everyone. This has been Robin.
And this is Aji. This has been the Samchung Show. Your go-to show for K-drama content.
Kamsahamnida! Kamsahamnida! Thank you.